need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today.
Hello everybody and welcome to another edition of the Unsolicited Advice Podcast. This is Ryan Witkowski. All right, so today we are going to touch briefly on the topic of self-compassion. What is it? Why is it useful? And then maybe in the future we can get into how to cultivate it, but that's a more in-depth sort of discussion. We'll touch a little bit on it today, though. But first of all, I want to say seriously thank you to everybody who responded to my last podcast. I thought it was phenomenal. I was extremely touched that anybody's listening and that you took the time out of your day to, you know, offer your feedback and your thoughts on the podcast. And most of the thoughts were just people saying that they had identified with it, which to some degree they did, and that's phenomenal. I'm happy that I could, you know, that we could sort of make that bond happen, sort of in shared experiences. So self-compassion, why this topic? So let's say, first of all, that after kind of doing the research and using my own experience combined with some more academic research from people like Kristen Neff of University of Texas, who studies self-compassion exclusively, and we can also, you know, I would say self-love and self-compassion are almost interchangeable sort of in the way that we use them. However, I would say that from a male and female's perspective, a lot of times people get extremely turned off by the term love or self-love, maybe because it seems indulgent or whatever the preconceived notion is about it. But nevertheless, it is a form at least of self-compassion. Okay, so why self-compassion? I think number one, because it is sort of the I think self-compassion can solve a lot of life sort of issues as far as cultivating it can. Things like depression, anxiety, just overall sense of fulfillment and happiness, self-image, things like that. Self-compassion, I hate to use the word cure, but it could very easily be considered a cure for some of these maladies that we face, and anxiety and depression and the things that life just sort of, you know, brings upon us sometimes. You know, so if we're going to get into, so what is self-compassion, first of all, we can say that it's basically about being kind and understanding towards ourselves in instances where we find ourselves in pain or we may have failed or fallen short of some sort of expectations. So being understanding rather than being self-critical and seeing our experience as part of a larger overall life experience. And then lastly, not identifying with the pain of the situation, but holding a mindful awareness of it, right? So not identifying with a failure, with a shortcoming, but sort of being more mindful about it, being more aware of it than making it who you are necessarily. It's funny, I probably put this off for a good 2 weeks, this show, because I kept thinking, like, this has to be, you know, I had to do my research and I had to look into it and reflect, do a lot of reflection about how the research tied into my own experience and how I had to explain it in a way that didn't seem, that wasn't, you know, scripted necessarily. And it was driving yesterday and I was thinking about doing this podcast again. I've been putting it off and putting it off, you know, because I was kept thinking to myself that it had to be perfect, you know, not necessarily perfect, but it had to be good. It had to be, you know, almost flawless. You know, I had to almost live up to these other people who I've been reading about, who write about the same topic. And then that's when I caught myself. I said, you know what? This is the issue, is, you know, through self-compassion, you can probably, you know, you should be able to push yourself to do something like this, knowing that whatever you put out there is, you know, it's perfectly okay. And you know, it's not going to be perfect. It's going to have flaws, because I'm not an expert on this. Like, I'm doing this and I'm learning as I'm going, you know, and trying to integrate some of these ideas into my life. And hopefully you can integrate some of them into yours. And so that made me start, and that's when I started getting more into the research. And one of the things, Kristen Neff from University of Texas, I think that's where she's from. You start talking a little bit about the difference between self-esteem and self-compassion. And what they'll say is that over the last, well, 20 to 30 years, self-esteem has sort of been the cornerstone in developing children and people into becoming the best versions of themselves that they can be. And there is some issues with that. Self-esteem in itself is not bad, but when it's not coupled with self-compassion, it can cause some serious problems. So let's first talk a little bit about what self-esteem is. Actually, let's back up. Okay, let's go from what's the difference between, I think there's three key words here. Okay, there's empathy, there's self-compassion, and there's self-esteem. So what's the difference? So let's look at empathy as your ability to identify with another's range of emotions, right? To be able to have almost like a nurturing response to understanding when somebody else is in distress or when somebody else is experiencing any wider ranges of emotions. Okay, so you're able to identify with that within yourself. Okay, again, very high level definitions. Self-compassion, we talked about it already. That is, you know, being able to be kind and understanding towards yourself in instances of pain and failure, essentially. Seeing your experiences as a part of a larger experience and not identifying, over-identifying with pain, but holding it in a mindful awareness. And then we get into the idea of self-esteem. And self-esteem leads us to value ourselves based on our rank next to others. So in some sense, others become obstacles to our others, people, individuals, become obstacles to our self-growth, okay? So when we don't become, when we're not above somebody else in another way, some way or another, we can become very self-critical. We start doing a lot of social comparing. We start becoming very defensive. And this creates what's known as the better than average, better than average, unquote, effect. Nobody is actually satisfied simply being average anymore. Because imagine, for example, if the feedback that I would get for that last podcast was something like, yeah, it was okay. It was all right. It was average. I've heard better. I've heard worse. You know, I'm willing to bet that not many people would feel extremely good about that, because I think we're sort of caught up in this culture of always having to be better than the other or the people next to us. And why is there more intelligent than others? And the ironic part is that most people also think that they're above average in their ability to view themselves objectively. So that does cause a little bit of a problem, as you can probably imagine. And there was actually, a 30-year study where 65% of college students scoring higher on narcissism traits than in previous generations, and not ironically, self-esteem followed a similar pattern. So, as self-esteem went up, narcissism also went up at a huge clip. So, it's no wonder narcissism has increased. Everyone is out to protect, you know, what you could term their everybody's out to protect their real selves, and they project this false self, which is this need to always want to do better, it's almost becomes a self-protective measure where, self-esteem when you aren't able to be the best or always or never, or when you do, you know, fail, you can often become very, very, very defensive, which distances yourself, and you start feeling almost isolated and alien from the folks around you. So, you know, not to say self-esteem is bad and only self-compassion is the way to go, but the whole idea that self-esteem is how you build a whole person is not the whole picture. Self-esteem is important, but not at the cost of self-criticism. You know, self-criticism in itself, you know, when you're basing everything on self-esteem, self-criticism actually, you know, from a physiological point of view, it activates the sympathetic nervous system, or that fight or flight response you might have heard about so many times, and you're sort of self-attacking. You know, usually when you have a fight or flight response, you're running from something else, but when you self-attack, you still release cortisol, so you put yourself under a tremendous amount of stress. And at a physical or physiological level, I mean, we can get into the research about stress and its effects on the body, but it's the same thing. You're putting yourself under this sort of self-induced stress. So, you know, how do we get rid of, you know, and also when you, that, you know, self-esteem, when you base everything on that, also leads to things like anxiety, depression, insecurity, and the list goes on and on. So you can see perhaps why this can very easily kind of lead down a bad road. So let's look into, you know, what self-compassion is. So let's say there's three components to self-compassion. You know, and by the way, like I have also suffered from this whole issue of self-esteem as being the end-all be-all. I think it's almost like a default mechanism we go to. You know, I can remember, you know, I went to school and I got a bachelor's degree and I got a master's degree. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what, it doesn't really count unless I go to Stanford University, unless I go to Harvard, unless I'm going to some Ivy League school, unless I'm getting accolades, unless I'm getting straight A's. And even as athletes, as a weightlifter or an athlete, thinking that if I'm not number one, you know, then, you know, what's the point? If I'm going to be second or third, there was always sort of this, it got to the point where there was just this, or even in work, in you know, career, whatever it might be, there was, even in relationships, every which way, there's always this nagging thing that says, I have to be the best at this, I must always have the best, right? And if I don't have the best, that means that I potentially am not good enough, that there's something wrong with me, and that's when you bring in this whole sort of shame, mechanism too, which, you know, that goes really deep into some other things we can get into another time, but you can sort of see how self-esteem when standing alone isn't necessarily, you know, the way to go. Now, compassion, on the other hand, let's say it has three different elements. Okay, so number one will be common humanity, number two, self-kindness, and three, mindfulness. And oh my God, I hate the word mindfulness. It's so overused. If you can think of another word for it, let me know, but for all intents and purposes, right now we're going to use mindfulness. So, okay, so what is common humanity? So that basically is saying that, you know, let's say you mess something up really bad, whatever it might be, you don't perform perfectly, or you have a lot of errors, or you're just average. Most of us are just average. It's just how it is, okay? We have to learn to be okay with that. I have to learn to be okay with that. So common humanity is basically saying, you know, it's when suffering, you realize the suffering and inadequacy. See, I can't even pronounce words, right? Self-compassion, Ryan. Suffering and inadequacy are a shared experience and are often influenced by external factors such as parenting, your culture, expectations of others. And I like to look at this sometimes as, why would I have handled that any differently given those factors? You know, so, you know, if there comes a point where, you know, say you mess something up, say, you know, I'm the king of messing up relationships, for example, okay? So, you know, at some point in time, I could either beat myself up and say, you're a freaking idiot, you moron, right? Or I could say, you know what, why would I have handled that situation any differently given where I came from and my background, right? Why would I have acted any differently in this situation? When did I learn to actually act in a different way given that situation? Of course I made that mistake. You know, at that point in time, then you can start getting into, okay, I need to build my self-esteem up a little bit, my skill set, because now I've identified this, right? I've recognized the common humanity in my errors. Then it's my responsibility to say, okay, how am I going to improve this, okay? You can't just stay in the self-compassion aspect the entire time. Self-compassion actually does breed improvement in a healthier way than sort of building self-esteem might. You know, when you also look at the whole common humanity thing, you know, when you actually think about it, okay, no matter, everybody's got their problems, think for a second, whatever your issues are that you struggle with on a daily basis, right? How many people actually choose to have anger issues, to have addiction issues, to have anxiety issues, to have certain mental health issues, financial issues, whatever it might be? How many people are choosing to have those issues? The fact is, most, we don't. We don't choose those things consciously. Okay, and so once we recognize that there is a bond we all have between us, and that is sort of this suffering and feeling of inadequacy, right? It's a bond that exists between everybody, and we don't always choose to have those things. And recognizing that you're not isolated is a big thing. Next would be self-kindness. And, you know, that's really just basically saying, you know what, failing and suffering are unavoidable in life. I am going to fail. I'm going to suffer. And, you know, I've done those a lot, right? So failed a lot. I suffered a lot. And it's unavoidable, right? Be warm and understanding when you feel inadequate rather than self-flagellating. You know what I mean? So that's something that I've sort of come across, you know, in my therapy, which has been, you know, really interesting, is that, you know, if I'm feeling, let's see, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example. I can't right now, but if I'm feeling down about something, if I'm feeling regretful about something, if I'm feeling sort of sad, you know, it's this understanding, like, letting myself feel that way temporarily and say, you know, it's okay to feel this way. There's a reason that you feel this way, okay? And the thing about self-compassion is you can feel something that's uncomfortable without overindulging in it, okay? And that's kind of what mindfulness is about. But without overindulging it or sort of ignoring it or suppressing it necessarily, okay? And that's what mindfulness is. I got ahead of myself here, but mindfulness is the third element of self-compassion, and that's, you know, taking a look at all the emotions that you're feeling so they're neither suppressed or exaggerated, right? And I think that's important. You have to take some time to sit and say, okay, I messed up. All right. Recognize you're not the only person who ever did this, okay? Recognizing that these things are inevitably going to happen. You can't avoid them. So how can I be kind to myself? You know, we talk about when parents or mothers nurture, you know, we release these opiates and these oxytocin into our blood. It's this warm sort of comforting chemicals that make us feel like we're being taken care of, right? And self-kindness in itself, we can learn to sort of reparent ourselves in that aspect in the moments. Reparenting is a very interesting topic, by the way, but we can learn to self-parent ourselves in these moments. And, you know, we actually can release these feel-good hormones. I hate using terms like that. It's so annoying because you always hear it all over the news, but that's essentially what they are. As opposed to if you're going to be self-critical and you're living sort of in the world of self-esteem, essentially, you release cortisol, the complete opposites, right? And, you know, studies will have shown that some people will say, well, real quick, so the three elements, just to rehash, are common humanity, self-kindness, and mindfulness are the three elements of self-compassion. Some people will say, wow, this seems really self-indulgent. I'm just going to be compassionate all the time and just kind of blasé about, you know, messing things up or not, you know, living up to expectations and we're not having goals, for example. But, you know, the research strongly shows that self-compassion actually is a whole different paradigm, where sometimes self-compassion does require a hard look at yourself and taking responsibility, right? And then, like I was saying before, not making those mistakes again, right? And it's much more useful and friendly to yourself, right? It actually does cultivate these sort of exterior outcomes that you're looking for, okay? So essentially, we're looking at the difference between compassion and sort of being self-critical and self-esteem is, you know, we're looking at self-knowledge versus self-judgment, right? So let's strive for self-knowledge. We're looking for common humanity versus isolation. I'm the only one, right? How could I be so stupid? Of course, I'm exaggerating. This manifests in many different ways. And then mindfulness versus over-identification, right? So let's choose the mindfulness route. And this is going to be, you know, practice. This takes some really, and I've learned, one thing I've learned over the last several months is this takes some serious, it's a large effort you have to put into this. And so, you know, let's, you know, kind of move on. Let's figure, okay, let's talk a little bit about how can we, you know, actually real quick, the one thing, how these things work together, right, is when self-compassion, okay, self-compassion kicks in when self-esteem fails, okay? So instead of continuing going down this downhill path of, you know, self-esteem failing, because it's inevitable we're going to make mistakes, right? So your self-esteem is going to take a hit. How do we stop it? We develop self-compassion, okay, get us back in the right path. And so, you know, there are a couple different ways that we can start thinking about cultivating our own self-compassion. It'd probably be a good idea to do some more of these down the road. You know, one of these things is going to be writing a letter to yourself as if you are, you know, say you're basically writing a letter to yourself as if you are your best friend, right? And think, would you actually talk to yourself the way that you talk to another person, the way that you talk to yourself, right? And the answer is probably not, right? The answer is probably you'd be surprised if you were to write down how you treat yourself, right? When you say, would you really want to treat another person like that? And the answer is probably going to be no. And on top of that, you know, so then, yeah, how would you talk to a friend who made a mistake, essentially, is what you're doing? And write yourself a letter. Even mail it to yourself if you're feeling that motivated. Next one might be write. So this one is one I should do, and I'm actually a little bit nervous to do this one. But write down your own self-talk. Right? Write down your own self-talk. Think about something you did stupid or something you regret terribly. Right? Write down the way that you talk to yourself about that. Right. Is it full of self-criticism, or do you see some compassionate, you know, some compassionate sort of words in there? And I have noticed that it started off with self-criticism, and slowly moved into self-compassion, right? And I found the self-compassion to be much more motivating than the self-critical nature, because I feel like the self-critical words, while an old school person might say that's how you get better, I would argue that's sort of a terminal way to think, right? You're going to get stuck in it, and you're going to keep coming back to the same way again. Let's see, I wrote down one more here. And then basically just starting to develop a mindfulness practice. There's that stupid word again, but it is very true, you know. Even if it's only for 1 minute at a time, right? If you're feeling upset about something, just take 1 minute, close your eyes, and just notice how you're feeling. Don't judge it, just notice it. Or if you are judging it, notice that you're judging it for 1 minute at a time, right? It's not this deep spiritual sort of hippie, you know, process. It's just you being with yourself for a moment, right? Very important. And also, self-compassion does not go both ways. So just because you're passionate, you find yourself being compassionate to others, doesn't mean you're going to be compassionate to yourself. And just because you're compassionate to yourself doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be compassionate to others. We all know people who are more helpers, and they always want to be helped. They're always helping other people. But a lot of times, those same individuals are very critical of themselves. Right. Again, another topic in itself we could get into. And then there's also folks who are maybe, you know, we can even say overly indulgent, you know, self-compassion, you know, whereas they're really nice to themselves, but then not so nice to others. Right. So those things don't necessarily correlate. But if you have never thought about self-compassion before, right, and this is just my own thoughts, if you've never consciously identified the dynamic of self-compassion within yourself, I would suspect that developing self-compassion is a way to learn empathy. Because compassion and empathy can, in fact, be learned, okay? Empathy less so. Compassion for sure. Okay, empathy is a little more trickier, and involves some serious self-parenting and probably a lot of work with a professional, with a therapist. I lost my train of thought here for a second, but yes, if you can learn to identify exactly how you are feeling in any, along the spectrum of feelings at any point in time, and you're in touch with that, and you can own that as yours, okay, when you see somebody else when you see another person having a really good time or struggling, right, your first reference to yourself will be, that looks familiar, right? What has my experience been with that? Oh, you know what? I can remember a time when I really felt like garbage too. Okay, yeah, I know exactly what that person's going through now. You know what I mean? And somehow we're getting way off base here, but, you know, people have, and I've been at fault for this too, but people have trouble often seeing the extremes of emotion. You know what I mean? I've had trouble dealing with extremes of emotion of another person. You know, maybe being resentful of somebody who's super happy and be like, God, this is ridiculous. You're obviously faking it, right? Or somebody who is experiencing a crippling, awful experience. And, you know, the fact is that I had possibly suppressed, you know, some of the deepest, darkest shadow parts of myself, right? That other thing seemed threatening, because to me it would be threatening for me at that point in my life to have to go into that shadow self, right? When I saw somebody in there, you know, somebody else going through a similar thing, you know, unconsciously, you probably think, oh my God, and your brain just sort of short circuits in so many ways, right? And instead of being empathetic, you sort of bypass, you've never identified the self-compassionate part of that experience, right? And therefore, you're not able to meet these other people, these other folks, whoever it is, in a place that will, you know, elicit understanding and maybe help them be more compassionate for themselves at the same time. You know, I suspect that you know, compassion can go a long way, and it's not, that's not really my own idea. I got that from somebody from my past, but, you know, probably compassion can go. And I've actually, you know, it's actually become my experience lately, though, that compassion in itself can be the cure for a lot of mental health maladies, issues going around today, right? Such as a hug, such as I hear what you're saying, such as just listening, which, oh, that is an art form in itself, just listening to somebody without thinking about what you want to say next, you know, or how you're going to defend yourself, or how you're going to come back, just listening, right? So, probably got a little bit off of base here, not probably, I certainly did, but you know what, I'm going to be self-compassionate, and I'm going to understand that I might have gone a little bit off the deep end here, but that's okay. Anyway, you know, maybe in the future we'll talk a little bit about cultivating self-compassion. But think about it. Think about those three things that we talked about. And it's been about 30 minutes, so I've talked to you off enough. Thanks again for listening. And I will talk to you all soon. All right, bye. I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know, I need someone younger, so much.